Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the River Church. So excited that you are here. Good to be back with you this week. Thankful for Pastor Noble who came and spoke and just faithful to the word last week. So thankful for that. But we're in the book of Psalms, Psalms 23. Had some great things going on. As we had Friday night, we had a middle school all-nighter. So we had, Justin, we had 359 middle school kids that went. That's a crazy number of middle school kids. Excited, even from here, from our Waterford location, we took 110 students, and that's just so good, right? And just so you know, like, we don't do an all-nighter because Justin goes, I just want to have fun with middle school kids. No, we like to do that, but the goal of that, the exciting thing about that, I saw a number is we had some 200 kids come that are from the church, and then when the other 160 said, they don't go to the church, but a friend invited them to come. And that's an awesome number because we want to reach the community. Our goal is to share the gospel with these kids, to connect with these kids, to show them there's a place that loves them. And so just really, really, really good stuff. All right. If you are new with us, we are in our summer series. It doesn't feel like it outside, but we are in our summer series. And we are studying the book of Psalms. Now, in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, this is, they're songs, they're poetry, 150 chapters, and the book of Psalms is interesting. It's different than most books of the Bible. It's not a narrative. It is different authors giving us truth through song, and these songs were sung in the temple, right? At the time it's written, and David, they would sing these songs. When we get to the New Testament, in the book of Acts, at the beginning of the book of Acts, what happened? They sang psalms. This is what they did. They sang these, and us today in the church, I don't know if you noticed, the last song that we sang was Psalms 23, verse 6 and 7, right? Like, this is what we sang. It's very important. The book of Psalms, again, is quoted or alluded to some 400 times in the New Testament. And so I encourage you a couple weeks ago, and I'll do it again. I encourage you this summer to ponder these words. To slow down and not just to get through a reading, but to stop and to read a psalm and then read it again. And then read it again. And ask the Lord to illuminate your heart and your mind of what this means. This morning, we are studying the 23rd Psalm. This is probably the most, not probably, this is the most famous Psalm. This is probably the most famous chapter in the Bible. So let's do something a little weird this morning. Let's stand up. Those of you ADD, you're like, all right, good. We can stand up and sit down. It's awesome. Let's read Psalm 23 together. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, may I be obedient to you and preach the word this morning. Lead my words. Lord, may you use this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Psalm 23. Now, as I prepared this sermon, I began to think about songs that can be played at the wrong time, songs that can be played in the wrong place, songs that just don't fit the moment, Songs where when people sing it at a certain place, you think, I don't think you understand the lyrics of this song. I was talking with Pastor Roy about this, and he said, you know, my wife and I, we love the band Chicago, and at our wedding, we played a song from Chicago. The problem is most of the songs from Chicago are about breaking up, not being married. It's a song that you go, I don't think that quite fits right here. It's like if you ever, with the Lions, you could never play the song We Are the Champions. Like it just doesn't fit. You'd be like, wait, this is, I don't think you understand the song or understand the Lions. It's in the wrong place. Years and years ago, some 20 years ago, when I did my very first funeral, and I was nervous and anxious. I remember going to the cemetery. I actually don't even remember where it was at. I remember the room and people in the room, and I remember looking, and the back wall was all glass. You could see outside. And at this funeral, they had military honors. The sounds of taps were played, and so the soldiers came forward, and our soldiers today, I think there's a shortage of those who can really play the trumpet. So they have this fake trumpet that plays taps so that it can still be done and honor can be placed. And so this funeral, this service, they played the song, they played taps. And I remember the soldiers walking to the back of the room, and I began as nervous, the first funeral I'd ever done. And the soldier in the back, and when he was standing there, the trumpet went off again. It started playing taps again. I remember him sprinting outside, and it was all glass, so I could watch him, and he still couldn't get it to shut off. I remember him outside going, burr, 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 trying to get the song to stop playing. I was like, thanks a lot, my first funeral. Really appreciate it. But a song played at the wrong time, or to not understand what's being said. When we think of the 23rd Psalm, most of the time, what do we think of? A funeral. Most of the time we think of the 23rd Psalm, it's something to be read at the end of someone's life because, man, the valley of the shadow of death. But if we think this is just a funeral song, we're missing the truth. We're missing the promises. We're missing, this isn't an end of life song where we think, hey, it's almost over. Thank God's going to rescue me. No, this is a song in the middle of our lives. The truth of God's word, the promises here. So this morning, I just want you to ponder the promises in Psalm 23. But I want you to hear that the truth of this song, the truth is, this song isn't played for everyone. This truth, these promises are not just an open call to mankind. There is a specific people that will receive these promises. See, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." This morning, may you ponder the question, is the Lord your shepherd? Or maybe he is your shepherd, but the truth is you know that you have wandered away. To think about, well, the Lord is my shepherd, then what does this truth really mean? Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Daniel Aiken, in his commentary of Psalms, said this. I think it's really helpful. He says, Holy Scripture overflows with metaphors, pictures, and images of our great and awesome God. They help us understand his character and his nature, his holiness, his goodness, his power, and his love. When we read the Bible, these metaphors to help describe who God is, to help us understand, the Bible describes God as a lion, an eagle, a lamb, the sun, a light, a fire, a fountain, a rock, a hiding place, a tower, and a shield. Nathan says, and then the Bible gives us even more personal descriptions of Like God is the bridegroom, the husband, a judge, a king, a man of war, a builder, a maker, a physician, and a father. This portrays the ununderstandable God, right? God beyond us, beyond what we can totally understand. God gives us these metaphors to help us grasp his compassion, his concern, his protection, and his guidance. In this 23rd psalm, this beautiful song, it is so personal. When you read it, you don't hear about Israel, us. You hear there. David speaks, he uses the word me a lot in here. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley, you are with me. You prepare a table for me. And when we read this, I think sometimes what can happen, especially for you churchies, if you've heard the 23rd Psalm so many times, you kind of shuffle through it and you miss how personal it is. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And throughout the Bible, this is a description of our God. Isaiah 40:11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are young. Ezekiel 34:11, talk about music playing at the wrong time. All right, anyways. Ezekiel 34:11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks our flock, or as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, in a day of clouds and thick darkness. The Bible describes God as a shepherd. And for us, we have to do a little work to understand what this means. Because we don't look out there across the street and go, look at the sheep and look at the shepherd. We don't see that. We can do a little work, and thankfully we have lots of resources to look at shepherds. Now, this wasn't a job of prestige. The shepherds were out with the sheep in a dangerous place. They were separated from the village, separated from the people, watching over the sheep. It wasn't a glorified position. David, what he does is, one says it this way, David compares himself to a creature that is weak, defenseless, and foolish. And he takes God to be his provider, his preserver, his director, and indeed his everything. And even, listen, David writes this. David as the king in the Bible in 2 Samuel 5, it says, David, you're to shepherd. But now the shepherd is saying, hey, I am in a position, I am a sheep, helpless. I can't go off and be a wild sheep. I will die. I need somebody to take care of me. And in this humble position, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Here, when you think about it and you ponder God as the shepherd, you think of him caring and restoring and guiding, protecting. In the New Testament, in John 10, it just describes the shepherd so well. In the New Testament, in the gospel, Jesus here on earth, Jesus says this in explaining what a shepherd looks like. Jesus gives the perfect description. Jesus says the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, still thinking of the sheep. The thief comes to kill the sheep, to destroy the sheep. But Jesus says, I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And you'll see this over and over again in the book of Psalms, like Noble did last week. The writers of the psalm being led by the Spirit, they didn't fully see the fulfillment of this. We do. Because David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And we know in the fulfillment of God's plan that God came down, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So anybody who tries to argue with you that says, well, Jesus really didn't claim to be God, yet he claimed to be the good shepherd. If he wasn't, this is blasphemous. But God, Jesus Christ, says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why? Because a good shepherd, he's going to protect the sheep. What does it take? Whatever it takes. Earlier he says, I'm the door. Because a shepherd, when he'd bring them into the pen, the door, you want to know what the door was? It wasn't like that metal thing you shut. The door was the shepherd laying down in front of the gate, saying, whatever is going to get to the sheep's going to go through me first. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep. They are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And a couple of verses down in verse 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. So really getting to the point, can you apply the lyrics to your life? Is the Lord your shepherd? How do you know? My sheep hear my voice. They know. I know them. They know me. And they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now here, I think a good translation of this is, I have what I need. If you look at Psalms 34, 9 and 10, it speaks the truth here, the same truth, that the Lord, if the Lord is our shepherd, he takes care of us. I shall not want. I have what I need. The 19th century pastor Charles Spurgeon on this verse said this, others far wealthier and wiser than me may want, but I shall not want. He goes on to say, a sinner's heart is far from satisfaction, but a gracious spirit dwells in the place of contentment. The promise of the Lord here. If the Lord is your shepherd, no matter what is going on, I shall not want. The Lord is good. There is peace. Now, is there always easy? No, not always easy. But here, the promise of the Lord is that there will be contentment. Listen, if your heart is always running after that next thing that you think will give you contentment, that promotion, that house, that next relationship, if you're always running and going, man, but if we only had that, the Lord speaks on this because what happens, we have a jealous heart. We begin to look and go, man, if I could only have that, then that would bring me contentment. The truth is that then will be your shepherd and you'll miss the true shepherd. And this promise here, if the Lord is your shepherd and you are resting in him and he is leading you and guiding you and you know his voice, Is the Lord our shepherd? If so, do we have the promise of this contentment? Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Israel, it's in a desert. So there were periods at the beginning of winter and spring where the rains would come and there would be pasture, there would be land, there would be places the sheep would go. But at the other times, the shepherds would have to lead them down some rocky trails, taking them to the place they needed to go. Warren Wiersbe says, in the Holy Land, pastures were lush and green following the rainy season. But this didn't last all year. There were no fences. The land was rough and dangerous, abounding with wild animals and snakes. And the helpless flock needed constant oversight. We see the Lord as the shepherd protecting. And I just want you to ponder this. If you do know the Lord, man, this is so sweet to the soul to sit and rest in the contentment of the Lord. You can read this and it is so, man, it just fills your heart. But hearing the shepherd as the protector watching over us, I think for me, it's really hard for me to even grasp the danger of the sheep. I feel like, because every animal in our world, we want to pet them and feed them and cuddle them. Like our culture, that's what we want. We want to go to the zoo and look at the lion. If I could only pet the lion. Look at that bear. It's so sweet looking. I just want to go get some honey and walk up to it, and then it could lick the honey out of my hand. So for us to grasp, no, that animal wants to rip your face off. It's easy for us to miss how good God is. God protecting us. Here in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He takes me to a place of rest. One talked about that sheep will only lie down when they are free from fear and friction and flies and hunger. When they're safe from that, then they'll lie down. So you have the shepherd protecting them. In your own life, are you finding that time of sitting down in the pasture, resting with the shepherd? Is that peace there? One lady wrote a song. She said, "The clock is my dictator, I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me to dip into depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it done. For my ideal is with me. Deadliness and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time and pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever." To hear that the Lord leads us to a place of green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. It's this thought, the Lord bringing them to a place to refresh. Not this rapid river that if the sheep get too close to, they get sucked into and they drown, but a place where the Lord protects them. Verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. He revives us. I think sometimes we can read this passage and go, yep, the Lord restored me. I got saved and the Lord restored my soul. But I think this passage is talking about in our walk, right? This song isn't just to be at our funeral, that in our walk with the Lord, we are continually needing restoring. We are continually needing the shepherd to come and to take care of us. Again, Spurgeon says, he restores my soul when the soul grows sorrowful. He revives it when it is sinful. He sanctifies it when it is weak. He strengthens it. Do you seek the shepherd to revive your soul? To rescue your soul? To receive forgiveness? To receive his strength? He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Here, most of the time in the Old Testament when the Bible speaks of a path, it's talking about life. It's leading me a path of life. It's leading to a path of the righteous way of the Lord. Right, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, or he will make your path straight. So as David writes this personal song, I want you to think about singing it in your life. Are you allowing the Lord to restore and to revive? Do you run back to the shepherd in repentance and receive the forgiveness of the Almighty God? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I encourage you to be in growth community this week because you can walk through these so much deeper than I have time to explain. But his name's sake. One said God wants everything to see his godly and good character. God in his sovereignty works in all things to display his greatness and his glory for the joy and blessing of his people. One said he leads us and guides us and feeds us and saves us. Why does he do all this? For his name's sake. It is who he is. It is what he does. Not because of any inherent goodness in the sheep like us, but simply because he is the good shepherd and we are the sheep of his pasture. So that thought of, Lord, use me for your name's sake. Make me for your name's sake. Keep me from evil for your name's sake. May I be more like you for your name's sake, that you may be glorified because of who you are. And some of you may be sitting there and go, hey, Pastor, that's great. That may be your life, but that ain't my life. I'm glad you get green pastures all the time. You should see what's going on right now. This is why the Bible is so amazing. Here, the Bible isn't saying, hey, guess what? Always green pastures. Last week, we studied Psalms 22. You saw David's heartbreak. David is like, God, I don't get any of this, but I still know you're God. God, what's going on? But you're still God. See, that's why verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible doesn't give some false, phony hope like this world doesn't have struggle and pain. There's some who try to sell that and preach that, and then when people run into real life pain and struggle and the valley of the shadow of death, when they run into this, they go, well, there must not be a God because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible is clear. There's valleys. Things are difficult. The valley doesn't just mean death. These are difficult times, difficult experiences. And can I tell you something that may shock you? Who's leading you into the valley? Who's the shepherd? See, as much as God, Jesus, is the shepherd of our lives when we're laying down in the green pastures, he's the shepherd of our lives, leading us through the valley of the shadow of death. As much as the Lord's will in the pasture is as much as the Lord's will leading you through what you need and what I need, he's still there. But the shepherd is there, I will fear no evil. The shepherd is there, for you are with me. The shepherd is there, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love when one person said, the rod and staff weren't a fashion statement. Rod, one described it like a mace, a club. What was it made to do? To smash the face of a wolf. To protect the sheep. Staff, this walking stick, carefully walking. And also there's this sense of correction for the sheep and steering for the sheep. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord's still leading. Now you may think, oh, Pat, is every valley because the Lord's leading me? No. Sometimes the sheep wander off and run into places that they shouldn't wander off into. Sometimes the sheep wander. And because of that, it's caused danger. It's caused things to hurt. So we don't sit here and blame out every valley. Well, that's because, no. Sometimes we wander away. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He goes on to describe, you prepare a table before me. It's like the metaphor changes here a little bit. It moves to a table. It moves to dinner. It moves to this friendship. It moves to this personal, again, pointing to this personal relationship. The Lord sets up a meal for you in the presence of my enemies. What does that mean? Well, because the Lord, you see, Jesus had enemies. If we're followers of the Lord, listen, you're going to have enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, I don't think this is saying your cup is always going to overflow. There are difficulties. We run back to the shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This song, is it played in your life? You understand the lyrics and the truth lead you to a difficult question. Is the Lord your shepherd? Well, do you follow him? Have you wandered away? He's your shepherd, but the truth is you've wandered away. See, 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 24 and 25, I think, are so helpful. The Bible says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And verse 25 says this, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. To ask the question, is the Lord your shepherd? Verse 24 explains how the Lord is your shepherd. The only way the Lord is our shepherd is if we will run to the cross of Jesus Christ. That he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, the cross. And for the Lord to be our shepherd. See, last week in Psalms 22, where it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If we don't get the cross, we'll never get the shepherd. If we don't get the sword that came to the shepherd, if we don't see the cross of Jesus, if it doesn't humble our lives, our soul, that Christ died on the cross for our sins that we may be saved, we'll never get the shepherding of Jesus. So for Christ to be our shepherd, there must truly be salvation in your life. A repentance of sin and believing that Christ died on the cross and rose again. And if you've wandered away, how do you get back? You run back to the cross. Here the verse says, for you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned. What? You run back to the cross. You run back to the forgiveness of the cross. You see Jesus, the good shepherd, and his love, and you run and you humble yourself and you follow him. Again, I love what one person said. You may know in your heart you have wandered away, but you are not alone because somebody is looking for you. This is an amazing song. May we learn to sing its truth in our lives. To know the promises are real. To know that he is with us in the valley. To know that he does restore us. To know that he does lead us to green pastures beside still waters. To know that surely goodness and mercy shall follow. The wonderful truth of the Good Shepherd. Let's stand. Our worship team's going to come and lead us in one last song. Lord, thank you for this morning. May you use this for your glory. It's because of who you are. And we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.